Hi, I'm Aislinn Antrim with Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus Oncology Edition, where we break down the latest news in the oncology pharmacy space. This month, we have a special crossover episode between Oncology Edition and the Psychedelic Pharmacy podcasts, discussing the role for psychedelic medicines in oncology. Managing editor Alana Hippensteel spoke with Anthony Back, a physician in colorectal services at the University of Washington Medical Center, co-director of the University of Washington Center for Excellence in Palliative Care, and professor of oncology and medicine and adjunct professor of bioethics and humanities at the University of Washington. As psychedelic medicine comes further into cancer care, Back said that pharmacists will be an important part of the interdisciplinary team in screening and evaluating patients for suitability for psychedelic medicine. First, Back discussed how he first became interested in psychedelic-assisted therapies and research as an oncologist.
As a medical oncologist, I have talked to many, many patients who have been facing their own mortality or facing end of life or facing some kind of big change in their lives and have had a really hard time adjusting to it. And, you know, you probably know that we have very limited therapies available for people. And for example, if you look at depression and cancer or anxiety and cancer or anxiety at the end of life, depression at the end of life, the evidence base is actually very thin. You know, there was just a Cochrane systematic review a couple of years ago that said that the quality of evidence for any kind of intervention for depression for people with cancer, there's just not a lot of evidence about what works. And so, you know, I do know that there are some interventions like meaning-centered psychotherapy that have shown promise in some small trials, but really there's not a lot out there. So as an oncologist, I was looking for something more, and that's what got me interested in psychedelic-assisted therapy.
In his own work, Back has investigated psilocybin-assisted therapy for burnout in physicians and nurses.
So far, I am the PI on a study that does not involve cancer patients. It's a study of psilocybin-assisted therapy for doctors and nurses with symptoms of depression and burnout related to their frontline work in the COVID pandemic. It's not the same population group, but in some ways, there is an overlap in the issues, which is seeing a lot of death, being confronted with your own mortality, adjusting to that during a time of great uncertainty. But that's the trial that I'm finishing up now.
He also reviewed some examples of ongoing research in psychedelic medicine that could be pertinent to patients with cancer.
Yeah, there are a couple of trials underway that I think are notable and will be really interesting. There is a two-site randomized trial of psilocybin-assisted therapy for people with cancer and demoralization that is being led by Dr. Stephen Ross at NYU and is happening at NYU and the University of Colorado at Denver. Then there is another study that I don't think has started to enroll patients that is a trial of psilocybin-assisted therapy for people with palliative care indications, including cancer. And that one is being led by Brian Anderson at UCSF and Charlie Grove at UCLA.
Back also said that he sees roles for psychedelic therapies both early on in the cancer journey and later in palliative care.
You know, I think of palliative care as appropriate for any stage of cancer because it is about addressing symptoms and stress of living with a serious illness, right? And so that means that looking at indications related to palliative care for cancer could be at any stage of the illness. I think a lot of the studies now that are going on are going to be focused on people who have incurable cancer or advanced cancer. But I definitely think there is a role, a potential role for psychedelic-assisted therapy, both early on in the cancer journey and later on in the cancer journey. I think later on, there are these issues of facing mortality, dealing with symptoms of depression and anxiety, dealing with fears of recurrence. Upstream, I think there's a slightly different landscape of also depression and anxiety, but also fears of recurrence, fears of how my life is going to be changed, fears of how I might be changing as a person. And I think there's so I think those are related, but somewhat different issues that I think where are places where we don't have a lot of different treatments for people. And so I think the promise of psilocybin-assisted therapy for people with cancer is really about improving adjustment to a complex life-threatening problem.
Currently, Backstead researchers are building the body of evidence to support use of psychedelics in oncology.
Yeah, well, so I think we're really at a point where we're building the evidence base, right? There are a couple of small randomized trials that look really promising and successful, and they are small trials they were the early days of the recent renaissance of psychedelic therapy, right? So published in 2016. And those studies took a long time to accrue and are probably, probably have selection in ways that we don't really understand. So I think these larger, more extensive trials are really important to get a larger group of patients to evaluate. And I think the other thing that's important to evaluate is if there are other useful models to investigate besides just the two therapists on one patient model. That has been the dominant model for most of the recent psychedelic therapy. So I think we need more research to look at a wider patient population and new models that are less clinician intensive that might create the possibility of more access for more patients.
Although oncologists often consider mental health to be outside their scope of practice, Back said treating mental health concerns is a major part of providing care for patients with cancer.
Yeah, so my perspective as an oncologist is that, of course, oncologists have been super focused on anti-cancer therapy, and that's all really important. I also think that oncologists have been less focused on the issues that aren't anti-cancer treatments, because until recently, the evidence-based treatments have been kind of limited, right? It wasn't until Jennifer Temel's study showing that early palliative care really improved outcomes for patients with metastatic lung cancer. And when that happened, right, it led a lot of oncologists to say, wow, I need to be more involved in getting palliative care to my patients early. I think the same will be true of psychedelic medicine for mental health issues related to cancer. I think once oncologists feel like they have something to offer that is really valuable, I think they will be a lot more interested in figuring out when to refer people. You know, I think oncologists have been taking care of mental health issues for a long time for people with cancer. And I think they're not that crazy about the option. Like, I've treated lots of patients with SSRIs in this situation, advanced cancer and symptoms of depression. And honestly, the results are not that great. And there's not much evidence. Similarly, for anxiety for patients with cancer, severe anxiety, not just, mild anxiety. There's not a lot of evidence-based treatment. We end up giving people benzodiazepines, but, those are kind of a temporary fix at best. And high benzodiazepine use often leads to other complications in the future that I think many oncologists are quite aware of. So they're not treatments that we're, as oncologists, super excited about. And I think that's one of the reasons that oncologists have, in the past, spent less time and energy on mental health issues.
As use of psychedelics moves ahead in oncology, Back said he sees several key challenges.
Right. So I think one of the big challenges, I think the first challenge is going to be there are not going to be a lot of research trials for all the patients who are interested. So I think there's going to be limited access there. Then I think the first FDA approved indication for psilocybin is likely to be major depressive disorder, not cancer. And so I think that's going to create another challenge. And then finally, I think the last challenge is the availability of qualified therapists who actually have training and experience with psychedelic therapy. I think that's going to be the third challenge.
Back said he hopes to see a growing body of research both for patients with cancer and depression, as well as patients with depression and without cancer.
Well, the ultimate thing, and this is what I'm hoping, is that there will be research and an evidence base developed for people with cancer and symptoms of depression that will establish the value of this treatment for that particular patient group. In the short term, I think I am not sure what will happen when psilocybin is approved for major depressive disorder, and how that will be interpreted by payers and other networks in terms of availability for people with cancer? I think that's an open question that I don't think I have a prediction about. That's why I think the evidence-based, developing that evidence base is really important.
Regardless of what the future holds, Back said pharmacists will play a key role in this developing space.
Right. Well, so I think as psychedelic medicine comes into cancer care, pharmacists are going to have a really important role in helping screen patients and evaluate them for suitability for psychedelic medicine. There are a number of important medication potential interactions. For example, the use of antipsychotics might point to a prior personal or first degree family history of a psychosis disorder that might be an exclusion. I think there's a lot of concern that high benzodiazepine use may affect the efficacy of psychedelic therapy. And so I think that is going to be something else that pharmacists will be very in touch with. And so I think pharmacists will be an important part of the interdisciplinary team, both in evaluating people for psychedelic medicine and as part of the psychedelic team itself for patients with cancer who are receiving psychedelic therapy.
Finally, Back discussed resources for pharmacists interested in learning more.
Yeah, you know what? There are just some emerging sources. There are definitely programs about specialized training in psychedelic that have enrolled pharmacists in the past, including the program at the California Institute for Integral Studies. There's also a pharmacist named Ben Malcolm, M-A-L-C-O-L-M, who runs a site called Spirit Pharmacist that tries to collect all the evidence there is about interactions between psychedelics and other medications. And he is a very thoughtful guy who's trying to pull together a very fragmentary evidence base.
Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus Oncology Edition. If you're interested in learning more about developments in psychedelic medicine, check out the Psychedelic Pharmacy podcast. And as always, tune into the next episode to learn more about what pharmacists need to know in the oncology space.